Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping center on the North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for morning worship, and 4 in the afternoon for worship. We also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. This morning I would like to discuss some thoughts concerning, does God heal miraculously today as he did in the New Testament days? There are many religious groups today which claim that God heals people in our present day, that is, in a miraculous, supernatural way, as he did in the New Testament times. Perhaps a more correct question would be, what about miracles today? Because as we deal with this question of miraculous divine healing today, we are talking about the present day use of the Creator using man through the laying on of hands in order to heal people, as it happened back in the first century time. And so when this took place, there was an immediate change. There was immediate healing to the one to whom the hands were laid upon. And this is what we would like to look at this morning with you. And we hope that you'll take your Bible and take notes and study this subject from your New Testament to seek for the true answers concerning whether God is healing miraculously today through the laying on of human beings' hands as he did in the first century. Now, the word miracle means power, inherent ability, and it is used of works of the supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents and means. Another word for miracle in the New Testament involves the idea of a sign or mark or token that is used of miracles and wonders as signs of divine authority. Dear listener, please do not misunderstand me. I believe that God can and does heal today. He tells us, in fact, to pray to him and ask him to help us. But the question is, does he do this in a miraculous way through the laying on of human hands today as he did in the New Testament days? Why did Jesus come to this earth? I think we need to look at this basic principle to begin with. Many think Jesus came to this earth for social reasons, to heal men physically, to help their social ills. Now, why this is partially true, these are not the reasons he came and died on the cross. He actually came as the great physician to heal men's souls. And so you remember in Matthew chapter 1, looking at verses 21 through 23, the angel saying concerning this, she, that is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now all this has come to pass, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is, being interpreted, God with us. So we clearly see here that he came to save people from their sins, to heal men's souls. He didn't come for social change, for helping us in the merely in the physical realm. But you may ask, well then, why did he heal people? Well, the answer to that question is found in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And there we read, many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so this reveals to us the answer. The miraculous healings were done, the signs, the wonders that Jesus performed were all done to confirm the word of God that he spoke, that he was in reality the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. This was to show his divine being and authority. And thus, when we read of these miracles, we can put our faith in Jesus, and we can totally believe that he is the I Am. He is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. But remember that Jesus went back into heaven. He no longer healed people himself on this earth as he did when he was here. But he did give this authority and this power to the apostles whom he had chosen. Well, why did the apostles receive power to heal? Well, Jesus had to fulfill Scripture and be crucified, of course, and rise the third day, and then later he had to return to heaven to reign at the right hand of the Father, where he is today. But he gave authority to the apostles to work in his stead or in his place. Let's go to John 16 and verses 12 through 14. And there Jesus speaking to the apostles, and he makes this statement. He says in verse 12 of John 16, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and shall declare it unto you." And then he goes ahead and talks about all the things that are his are the Father's. He received all of this from the Father. And the Holy Spirit, of course, would bring this to the apostles whom he had chosen. He had given them this power in Acts chapter 2, and they used it to continue to confirm the word that they spoke, that they received from the Holy Spirit, as Jesus had just promised, as we read there in John 16. Look at Acts chapter 2 now, and let's see this taking place. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And then also going over to the 5th chapter and verse 12, another example. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Notice also that we find the apostles performing the same types of healing that Jesus did. It wasn't the kind of healings that people do today that claim that Jesus or the God of the Creator is doing these things. These were the same type of healings that Jesus performed when he was upon the face of this earth. They were immediate and they were profound. For example, in Acts chapter 9 and verses 36 through 42, we have the account of the Apostle Peter raising Tabitha from the dead. Again, why were the apostles given this power? Again, to confirm the word of God which they spoke. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and looking, at verses 3 and 4 of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, having been at first spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." And so this is very clear. They had that power, and they performed that to confirm the word. But when the apostles all died, there was no more miraculous power through them. They all passed from this life because they were given that power. So the next question we come to then is, what about those whom the apostles laid their hands on to impart spiritual gifts? Which, of course, one of those gifts was healing. Were these people able to pass that on to other people? Now, if that's the case, we could still have healing through the laying on of hands today. But dear listener, we must understand that those people that had the hands of the apostles laid upon them could not lay their hands on anyone to impart any spiritual gifts. Let's take the example of Philip the evangelist. He had the apostles' hands laid upon him with the 7 back in Acts chapter 6, and you can read about that. Later, we find Philip the evangelist healing many in Samaria. So let's read a passage on that to confirm that in Acts chapter 8 and looking at verses 5 through 8. beginning at verse 5, it says, "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip, when they heard and saw the signs which he did. And from many of those that had unclean spirits they came out, crying with a loud voice. And many that were palsied and that were lame were healed, and there was much joy in that city." But dear listener, Philip could not confer this power of the Holy Spirit, those gifts that he had to heal, to anyone else. And so you don't find that happening. In reality, only the apostles could do that. So we read in Acts chapter 8, the next chapter, Acts, or the same chapter, but let's go down to verses 14 through 18 and read this account. There we have the account that when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to notice that it came when they laid their hands on them, and the next verse verifies that. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So we must understand this principle that we find here in the Word of God, the New Testament, that only the apostles that Jesus had promised this power to be able to lay their hands on others to impart spiritual gifts and to heal, that those who they laid their hands on, yes, they could do miraculous works, but they did not have the power to confer that onto anyone else. So we've got to understand this principle that we're talking about, that when the apostles died, there was no more ability from anyone else on this earth to impart these powers to heal supernaturally. We've got to understand that. These people all passed away in the first century, or perhaps into the early part of the second century, but they all passed from this life. These spiritual gifts, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, including miraculous power to heal, ceased to be exercised by men. But what replaced these miraculous gifts and miracles in confirmation of the Word? Well, the answer in the New Testament is the Word itself in written form. Let's go back and look at the spiritual gifts again, this time in 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 8 through 10. Here in this text, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the supernatural gifts, and he's making some very profound remarks here concerning these spiritual gifts. And so when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, most people look at those verses concerning the definition of love, agape, and it's a beautiful definition as he deals with that in the first few verses. But let's pick up at verse 8 right after that definition. He says, "Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." And what he's dealing with here is that all these supernatural gifts, including healing — now he didn't name all of the gifts that you read about in earlier chapters that were given through the laying on of the apostles' hands — but he does say that these are all going to be done away when that which is perfect is come. So the next question comes to us, well, what is that which is perfect? Many people today that still try to get people to believe they're doing supernatural healings and these gifts will say, well, that's when Jesus comes again. But the text there doesn't say when he who is perfect is to come. It says when that which is perfect. So we search the Word of God to try to determine what is that which is perfect? And the Holy Spirit answers that in James chapter 1 and verse 25. If you look at James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, "But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man will be blessed in his doing." So we find that that which is perfect was completed revelation, the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God. It's the mirror. It's what we have in completed form from our Creator. The inspired writer Jude mentions this in verse 3 of Jude when he says, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all, one time for all time, delivered to the saints." So that is what we have today, the completed revelation. And that completed revelation, when it was given to mankind towards the end of the first century, and when these apostles passed away, and they were the only ones that had the power to lay their hands upon other people to impart these spiritual gifts, including the miraculous ability to heal people by the laying on of hands. And so these things ceased to exist, and those who had their hands of the apostles laid on them to have these gifts, they couldn't even impart the gifts by laying on of hands to anyone else. So when they passed away, then the supernatural healing capabilities through laying on of hands ceased to exist. Well, we want to remind everyone at this point in time that you're listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. And again, we would invite you to worship with us. We worship Sunday mornings, 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, and then 4 in the afternoon for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We offer Bible correspondence course if you're interested through the mail. Just leave your name and address at our phone number is 816-279-4737, and we'll mail that to you as soon as we can. And you just mail the first lesson back in, we'll grade it, mail the second one to you. If you're interested in having a Bible study through the mail, just let us know. We won't contact you unless you ask us to. If you would like to have a Bible study in your home, also call 816-279-4737, and we'll arrange that to come and study any Bible subject you would be interested in studying, or general Bible study. Let's continue now in our thoughts this morning concerning this question. Does God heal miraculously today as he did in the New Testament times? That's the question that we have. The answer can only be no, he doesn't, as the scriptures have borne out that we've seen thus far. But what about all of the people who have experienced so-called divine healing in this day and age? Again, please do not misunderstand me. I am not saying that these people have not experienced some sort of feeling or supposed change in their physical body. But was it from God? That's the question that we have. What should we put our faith in, dear listener? Should we put our faith in the Word of God? Or should we put our faith in some experience, some better felt than told feeling that you have experienced? If you were supposedly healed in a supernatural way, how do you know for sure that it was a miraculous healing from God? Did you know, dear listener, that Satan has the power to deceive in these areas? And he uses such deceit to keep us from simply following the truth. There are many people today that they believe they have seen miraculous manifestations of deity in various places and in various ways, all kinds of supernatural activities. And it's the same thing happens in the healing arena. We have many documented cases where people were dying of cancer, and although they had no religious beliefs, all of a sudden the cancer, for no known reason, started to reverse and disappeared within a short period of time. And there was no logical explanation for what happened. We don't know what happened. All of a sudden, they just were healed, but they didn't even have religious convictions at the time that that happened. So we know from examples like that, accounts like that, that things happen in our physical bodies that we can't explain, we don't understand. What the devil does is he'll take whatever is going on in the areas we don't understand, and he'll get people to believe that God healed them, and then whatever belief system they have religiously, they must be right. So if I'm holding a wrong belief system about God and about spiritual things and life after death, and some miraculous thing happens to me, and I say, well, God healed me, I know it was God, he healed me, and therefore whatever I believe, then that is correct. We've got to understand from the scriptures how the devil deceives, and he is a great deceiver. He has the power to deceive. And so let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at a passage there. Because, dear friend, I don't have any knowledge about these things beyond what I find in the Word of God. I don't have a direct connection to the Creator in any sense of the term. Now, I know there are people that are out there that say God talks to them and tells them. And we have a lot of religions around us today that originated from people saying, yes, God came to me and he told me this and he told me that. And you got to believe what I tell you because that's what he told me. That's not what we're supposed to be following today. We have to go to this inspired word that came from the Creator, that we've had for centuries, that God put together through these 40 different men over a period of 1,600 years. And we can put our faith and trust in this word. But dear friends, we've got to go to it and let it teach us what is right and what is wrong. Not any present day teachers or any teachers after the first century, the teachings that are found within the New Testament. So go to 2 Thessalonians and let's look at chapter 2 and we'll read verses 9 through 12. Beginning at verse 9, it says, speaking of this person that's working under lawlessness, he's rebelling against God. He's called this man of sin, is the sin of perdition, the son of perdition. Look at verse 9. Even he, now this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan. Now notice how he's coming. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Now notice there's wonders, but they're lying wonders. They're false. They're fake. They're deceitful wonders. They're lying wonders. And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish. And here's the reason they're going to perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't have a love for what we're looking at here, what the Bible says concerning this subject. They want to believe what they've experienced or what they feel or what they've been taught. And for this cause, it says in verse 11, God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. Now listen to the Holy Spirit teaching us, dear listener. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says so the Holy Spirit can prick our hearts with the truth. God is the one who sends a working of error that they should believe a lie. Why? Because the prior verse said, because they don't have a love of the truth. They don't love their Creator to listen to what he says on any given subject. They listen to what they want to listen to what their parents taught them or what they've experienced or what they feel instead of what the scriptures say. So we're warned here. And it says that they believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, if what I feel happened to me contradicts the word of God, then I must change my beliefs to conform to God's word. This way we can always discern good from evil, as we're told to do in Hebrews 5:14. Another passage I wanted to look at was 2 Corinthians 11, because it kind of ties in with this. It's on a broader spectrum, but therefore I wanted to look at it because it really hits the nail on the head of what we're talking about this morning. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Here's talking about men that are false teachers, false prophets. They lie. They teach doctrines that aren't in the New Testament to get you to believe lies. And so Paul says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers. fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, that his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Yes, dear listener, there's a lot of deceitfulness going on out there in the religious world. And the only way you can tell the difference between what is true and what is a lie is go to your New Testament and study the New Testament on any given subject in the religious arena. And this includes, are we experiencing divine miraculous healings today in this present world as they did back in the first century when Jesus walked upon the face of this earth? In fact, all the way back in that matter, because there were miraculous things happening down through the Old Testament period also. But our Creator, according to the New Testament teaching, has chosen not to perform physical supernatural miracles through the laying on of hands after these apostles that he chose through his son Jesus Christ died and those who they laid their hands on. There is no continuing line of succession of the apostleship, as some teach today, and there is no divine healing through the physical laying on of hands. I don't care how many people will tell you there is and say that they've healed people. I go to the Scriptures, and I want to believe only what the Scriptures say, because that's what's going to judge us in the last day. And furthermore, dear listener, that's the only way we can keep from being deceived, because the same people that say they have the power to heal through laying on of hands today are teaching doctrines you don't even find in the New Testament. You have to take your Scriptures and examine what people teach and say, and not believe them because you might like them, or they may be your relatives, or they may have a majority. It's just like one radio talk television evangelist said that he needed $9 million or God was going to kill him. God was going to take him. And he got the money because people believed his lies. But God didn't talk to him and tell that. He claims he heals people all the time, but he doesn't, because the Scriptures show that that ceased when these men died, and there is no succession, and there is no power today for men to lay their hands and supernaturally heal other people. I hope you'll think about this subject. I hope I've said some things and read some Scriptures today that will prompt you to investigate. Especially if you've been led to believe that these people today are healing people supernaturally through laying on of hands. Go to your New Testament. Take a complete concordance and study all the Scriptures that, as I've taken you to some of them, that you will let the Word of God be the one to guide you in your thinking and what you accept and reject in the religious arena. Because God tells us through His Son, through these inspired men, that we are only to speak as the oracles of God. We are not to add to or take away from. Anything we believe and we practice today must be found authorized in the inspired Word of God. That's what we encourage people to do. And we would be happy to have a Bible study with you at any time. Again, this is Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. Come and worship with us this morning at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, 4 in the afternoon for worship, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Again, if you would like a Bible correspondence course, call 816-279-4737. Leave your name and address. We'll mail that to you. If you'd like to study the Bible with us at any time, give us a call. Leave your phone number. We'll get back with you and set up a time where we can study the Bible together. We appreciate you listening, and you have a wonderful day.